With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
One of my sons is fact-checking me on the phone.
Fact
he called
check.
In. Dad, Chris Paul went to college. I know he went to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
He went to college.
So he wasn't in
so
the same
So he couldn't
draft.
Be in LeBron's draft class. Do the math.
That's
true. He was
true.
2 years later. He's rookie of the year in 05. Like, that's okay, true. Nice. My kids are basketball historians. I want them to be actual historians.
Right.
In
like
school.
Like history historians?
Like, yeah. Like
American history?
I need you to be a historian
World
too.
World history historian?
I love that that they're basketball historians, but also be history historians. Do that too. But no, Mason is right. He's like, yeah.
Do
was,
the math.
I forgot that he was a rookie of the year. Did you remember that?
No.
CP3? He's like, it was Dwight Howard and then... So Mason remembered all the years. It was Dwight Howard and then CP3 won that. LeBron came out in 03. It had to be, but they had to. He had to have been a camp counselor. How did he do? Destroyed him. That's a big deal. If you destroyed Chris Paul when he was 20 or 21, I mean, it's LeBron James's camp. LeBron James, the earliest he could have had a camp was 04. The earliest he could have had one was after his first year in the league. How many guys at that age 20, have a basketball camp? The other players around their age were it just goes to show you he's had to be a grown up his whole career. You think people who hate LeBron? I'm not a LeBron lover, but I'm a LeBron respecter. I think he does stuff for likes, and I think he wants to be kind of fake virtue signaling on some stuff. I think he likes people to like him, and so I think he likes to be out there trying to be at the forefront of stuff, but then. You see the fraudulent stuff with the China. You see some of the fraudulent stuff with how he behaves in certain other areas. But the basketball is undeniable, and I don't think you should conflate the two. With that said, the people who don't like LeBron, like truly hate him, do you think they'll – you know how it usually chills out later in life where people kind of calm down a little bit? Do you think LeBron will be more likable to people when he's 45, 46 years old and he's been away from basketball for a few years?
Maybe, or will be just like, go away. Go away, dude.
I do get the sense he will still be. He's going to own. He'll probably own an NFL team. He'll be in the forefront of your life. Well, for the rest of your life, LeBron James will be.
Yeah,
on TV, in your face, because he will be an owner of a team.
Yeah, we will. Yes, he's going to be.
Will he call himself a governor?
Why
By the way, that didn't take.
Why is Jimmy Butler wearing a Texas, University of Texas sweatshirt?
He isn't.
Yes, he is.
It's just orange.
It's burnt orange. The only people that wear burnt orange are University of Texas people.
Probably trolling Texas because he's got a chip on his shoulder. They didn't recruit him.
Maybe.
Jimmy, it probably has something to do with the chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, probably. I do like, it's not a Russell Westbrook look. He had a white baseball cap on with
a
sweatshirt.
I don't do Russell Westbrook.
No. Jimmy Butler woke up and said, what am I wearing? I don't care. Just give me
Jimmy,
that.
Are you going to Fashion Week with DeAndre Hopkins and Russell Westbrook and LeBron? I'm going to Turkey Leg Hut and that's it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to Paris Fashion Week. That's what Jimmy Butler's not trying to go to Fashion Week.
No, Jimmy Butler ain't about that fashion. Ain't about that life. I really like the way he dressed last night. Let's get to
just a hoodie and a white cap.
Yes. That's how
he's trying to be comfortable.
That's how ball players should dress.
You don't think they should dress in golf attire?
Well, no, he could dress. Look at Pat Beverly has got a nice golf shirt on. That's fine.
Pat Beverly's not trying to dress up either. By the way, you know who else is not going to be in Paris Fashion Week? Pat Beverly.
No, Pat Beverly.
But Wendy may make you go.
No, no. So let's get Pena in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Anybody wants in, you're more than welcome. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, congratulations, 25 years. I've only been listening to y'all for about a year and a half, but I love listening to y'all every morning now, y'all. Y'all broke my old schedule from listening to old Joe Rogan. But, hey, I want to talk about the Texans. And I talked to the Killer Bees about this yesterday. I really don't like C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. I mean, I like him in college. Don't get me wrong, great quarterback. But the history from Ohio State quarterbacks and Alabama quarterbacks aren't really too great. But great quarterbacks in college, don't get me wrong. I like Will Anderson, though. He's a freaking beast. Lance, you're the pro-eminent draft analyst. Can you tell me more about him? And I like when you do the skits about the 1950s announcers from the MLB getting hit in the face. You mick. I like when you do that. And when you talk about Jimbo, thank y'all. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks for listening, Pena. Will Anderson is just an Alabama passer. Beast. He's just a great passer.
Top three next year? First?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, you worry about the quarterbacks getting pushed up. Not worry about it, but I don't know if you can get the quarterback. You either draft quarterbacks or get quarterbacks.
Will Anderson is what more than likely the best player in the draft.
Yeah. There's a chance
Will be your highest rated player, probably.
Probably. Yeah. I haven't looked at the class at all, so I can't give you a breakdown on Will Anderson. I mean, if you're not in a draft, I don't have time to break you down because I got 500 players to get through in limited time. So I do know that I'm peeking over at Will Anderson, and he can bend. He's explosive. He can hunt, man. That's what he is. He's a hunter. And
it would have been interesting if he was in this draft where he would have gone.
Really high. Yeah. Will Anderson, who was the first pick of the draft? It was Trayvon Walker. Will Anderson would have been the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
He would have been. Because you have all those traits. That's great. I don't know. I got to see what Will height Anderson weight, I see what height weight length is and yeah. all that stuff for Will Anderson. But just based on tape, Will Anderson would have been the first pick off the draft. The yep. first pick of the draft. As a pass rusher. So unless there's a quarterback, because quarterbacks just go first. You know, that's a problem. When you invariably have to draft a player that you know isn't as good as another player, that's like a fundamental flaw in the draft. When you say, well, we know he's not the best player, but we're going to draft this player because he plays this position. You're right off the bat starting at a position of weakness, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, best guy, go. Is C.J. Stroud going to be the best player?
I'm kind of with Pena. I get nervous about.
I think it's going to be Stroud and not
Bryce.
Ohio
State quarterbacks. Because Stroud's bigger.
Well, I don't care about that because everyone is different.
I want to see how big Bryce. Everyone acts like Bryce Young is 180 pounds.
He's little, though.
Yeah, he's smaller. I want to see. I mean, I saw a small quarterback go first with Arizona. So I want to see with Bryce Young. I think Bryce has got a real talent.
So I think Jack Easterby needs to call Bill O'Brien and get just and see find
what,
out.
Just get the insight
kind,
on
yeah,
Bryce.
What yeah. kind of kid he is.
Yeah, I want to see how that call goes. I want to see how that call goes.
He needs to.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do a deep dive.
And maybe we can get on a three-way call and I can be on there too and let Bill and let, you know, hey, Bill, tell me too. I've got NFL draft stuff I'm trying to do. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know or not. I also do.
He doesn't even know.
I know
what you do.
Don't know what I do for a living.
Huh.
Even though I texted you and helped you with who you're, you know, where offensive linemen were going to be drafted in that 2019 draft. But I know you don't know what I do for a living. But I was wondering if you could just tell me all the information on offensive players for Alabama. So just give me some insight. Do you have time to do that? And that's mm-hmm. where if we still had the clip, you bleep you, mother bleeper, bleep you too, you suck too. That's what I would get. But Jack would get that too.
Oh, my
Jack,
God.
Jack helped gun him down. For those that don't know, Jack machine gunned Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
Well, he helped the players.
Oh, no. Yeah, he absolutely did. He was, Worm Tongue was in the king's yeah. ear, and he got him out.
But from what I found out from people in the building is, before it ever happened, like something's turned between these two, because Jack is not in the inner circle with Bill anymore. Like, what happened? I don't know. So people in the building didn't know what happened. Shortly after that,
one
Bill
long.
O'Brien's,
Bill's gone.
He's out of here. Mm. And then, brr, brr, brr. Shaq got him.
Oh, my God. The preeminent draft guy can't break down Will. I can call him if you need it. The Mockingbirds are.
Mockingdales.
Mockingdales are. They're.
Yeah. I mean, I could give
if you. If you want to call in.
Here's how fast I could do this. Oh, man. You know, the guy's got length. He's got the ability to really race up the track and bend and flatten at the top. He's very bendy in his lower half. Great ankle flexion. Shows the ability to use his hands to grease the edge. I like the fact that he has go-to moves and inside counters. I think the one thing he needs to work on is more of a stab-and-run move, so he shows he's got some speed to power conversion. I could throw fake stuff at you like that.
Like
it sounds real. Like, they wouldn't know how to even do that.
They don't even know.
I can throw the terms at you if you'd like, right. The pass rush terms, and I could bull bleep you.
Yeah.
But I just prefer to watch the guy. But pretty much he does all those things. I just have to. And by the way, he may not be the best pass rusher on that team. The best pass rusher might be a kid named Dallas Turner, number 15. He ruined Charles Cross from Mississippi State. Like, this kid, Dallas Turner, number 15, and Will Anderson is great. Will Anderson may go in the, Will Anderson gonna go in the top three, and all I could watch last year was like, who's this number 15 who's destroying Charles Cross? And I look him up like, oh, he's a freshman. Thank God Alabama finally got somebody who could play.
It's 8-11 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get Sean in here before a break. Hey, Sean.
What's up, guys? Congratulations on 25 years. I've been listening probably about 24 of them, and I've only called in four times.
Oh, wow.
And three of them was to try to get this story off. I mentioned one little thing, and Lance ran off on a minute rant, so I didn't get a chance to get it off. But my favorite story was when John was doing the doctor spot for like a proctologist, and he was talking about fingers and long fingers and cold hands and all this stuff. Well, Lance wasn't in the room when he came back. Some guy called, and he had his kids in the car, and he was just tearing into John. And Lance goes, "Hey, nobody said anything about fingers in the butt." And then John's like, "Well, I might have. That was one of my favorite stories of all time.
You know, I don't think I was doing a. I don't know if it was a spot or I was just I was getting.
I know
my,
that does sound
my proctologist. But
yeah,
my proctologist
it may have been that,
was,
but I
yeah.
Colon.
Yeah,
the
my
colonoscopy.
Yeah,
but yeah, it does. That does feel kind of. I don't know. That does feel kind
Did
of.
Did I have a doctor? I don't know if I've ever had a doctor as an advertiser. I don't know.
No, but that does that story does feel that does feel
I
like
could
something
do Doc Cook our sons went to Kincaid together our boys and he's a gynecologist we could get him to do
well,
some spots.
So tomorrow some of the things we're going to hear is tomorrow's the
would you like to hear me do gynecologist spots?
Well, no, but there was another one that I have where you were well, I mean, it was a commercial. We went to a break. We were going into a break, and John goes, "All right, that's enough of that. Let's talk about my erection." I'm like, "What? What? What?" And it was an actual commercial.
Yeah, we had.
And the things John said during that commercial, it was recorded and kept. It was that good.
I don't remember.
Someone in the room, Kristen, who used to work here, and she's like, "Whoa, just hold on a second."
8:13 ESPN 97.
You want to hear? You know what? I tell you what. I'm going to throw in there today. How about this? How about keep them fresh?
Yeah, keep them fresh.
When we come back,
you got to listen to this. Is one of the funniest. I was literally on the floor. Two things Lance made me. Lance can tell if something is funny because I will be how I react.
It was a great. I was just a
two
great,
things that made me hit the floor. Keep them fresh, and Lou Holtz.
We don't have that.
We don't
anymore.
Have that.
I lost it.
Oh my gosh!
I used to have it back today when Lou Holtz was talking.
Because
Lou Holtz at an SEC media day,
dog get cancer.
He said, "Listen, did people talk about ACL injury?" Lou Holtz was convinced that if people start drinking pickle juice, he went on a rant about pickle juice and there's no more cramps. He's never heard of ACL like ACL. Dog doesn't warm up at all. Dog gets up. He's been laying down. Maybe on a blanket, maybe on a soft pillow. It could even be in a dog bed. They're sitting there laying down, doing what dogs do. All of a sudden, squirrel comes by. Dog gets up, sprints fast as he can. There's no warm-up right there. I've never heard of a dog tearing an ACL. Dog never tore an ACL chasing
ligament.
A squirrel. Ligament. Oh, I tore a ligament. ACLs aren't real. I want to hear about all the people need to warm up more. They're going to tear their muscles or their ligaments. Never seen a dog have a torn ligament or pulled hamstring
in my life. 814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to do keep him fresh. Yeah. The defensive lineman for the Texans it was so funny. So you got to listen.
Well, the rotating in and out. Yeah, seen it. Y'all have seen it before.
Yep. And I want to talk right now. I saw Jeff Aronoff over at the University of Houston golf tournament, Dana's tournament. Jeff is a big supporter of U of H. He's got suites over there, and he Jeff takes care of the community. Jeff is like that. Jeff is really, really, really good at this. And Jeff told me, he said, it's crazy. It's crazy out there. I said, well, how's business? He said, it's just so the problem for everybody right now is getting the materials. I said, but the calls, he said, I could work every day. I mean, he's already got 120 guys out on the street. He said, I could put 500 out on the street right now and have them all busy because you guys are responding. And that's awesome. And if you're looking for, you know what? It's hard. It's hard out there. And if Jeff Aronoff still can get the job done for you, though, all you got to do is call him and let him start the process. You need that outdoor patio. You need that outdoor kitchen. You need your kitchen redone. You need your bathrooms redone. Your living room, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. You need it redone. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's an absolute marvel on granite. Tell him you heard it right here.
ESPN. 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I drive a caddy, fix the floor. Old school Run DMC. Willie, Dylan, we got a funny feeling. How about that? Rapping 84, 83, 84 era, and they go hard with the guitars like that. Run DMC was way ahead of the game, even before the stupid Stephen Perry thing. That I hated. Walk This Way. King of Rock and Rock Box. And then it's tricky and all that stuff. They did the other stuff too. But so anyway. Yeah, and they also sing. I mean, it's also Run DMC that has the song that we come in, our intro song. That was back. That was when they, like 20 years later, they did something. But yeah, and Daryl McDaniel, DMC, looks like. It's bananas. He is rocked up still. Like, he hasn't aged a day. It is insane. White cracks. The old black don't crack thing. Like, Dell loves saying that. Doesn't actually. I don't know if Dell says that.
Dell says it every day.
I'm cracking like a mother. You're starting to crack now, too. You slip down those steps. Welcome to the club. Mm.
Yeah, it was.
Your flak jacket.
I pulled a Lance last night. I slipped on. I had socks on my stairs, and I fell on my ribs. I broke two ribs last night.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
You haven't been to the hospital, but you said you can feel them moving around.
Yeah, I mean, it was the most painful night ever.
Do something. I want to. Let's do it. Let's
that and my shoulder in high school when I tore it up playing football.
Let's do something right now. Cough as loud as you can and see what happens.
Cough.
If you laughed, does it hurt?
No. Yes. Talking. Blowing my nose hurts. Everything
yeah, you
hurts.
Broke your ribs.
Yeah.
I can diagnose it from here.
I punctured a lung, too, I think.
You might have punctured a lung.
Oh, my God.
So anyway. I want to say, so there's two.
Who showed up?
There's two. Yeah, you showed up. There's two. Of course, so did I the day after I almost broke my leg in half.
You didn't break your leg in half.
It was heroic.
That never happened, really.
So I think it's the same guy sent emails both times on two clips we're going to play here. And the 25-year celebration. The first one is Keep Him Fresh. Now, I think this is Cowboy Steve who sent this one in. I know Cowboy Steve sent the other one in that we're going to play that I haven't told you about. But Cowboy Steve was an emailer, an early adapter to the show. And
Adjutant.
He was an adjutant. He was a Cowboy fan. He was definitely an adjutant. But
every single day. Oh, he would say something. I would say something, and then he would say something, and it was the opposite.
He was very contradictory about everything.
I'm correct again.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it was Cowboy Steve that sent this email in, but it might have been someone else who said one. He talked about defensive linemen going in and out of games, and so you'll hear. I read it during the break and thought it was hilarious. Read it to John. We were laughing, so I saved it. I said I'm not going to read it anymore. I'm going to save it for on the air. And so we were talking about the Texans. So you're going to hear some defensive lineman's name for the Texans that you haven't heard for several years.
And I was.
But this is actually one of the things people always ask about is, do you still have that thing where you talk about keeping them fresh?
So I was on the field for the first 5 years of the Houston Texans. I was the sideline reporter. And it struck me. It was so funny to me because it was so true. They would. It was amazing. It was a new coaching staff. Well, it was Dom Capers and his staff, and it seemed so disorganized. And it seemed like the guys would be running on the field. They would make wholesale changes. It seemed like every down with their defensive line. They had a three-man front insane. Back in the day.
And we see it all the time, but it felt like the Texans did it more, like, right?
They never, ever just kept the same three guys on the field ever. It was running in and out all the time, all the time, all the time, and this came of it.
One thing I'm not understanding with the Texans D is this mass substitution on the D line on every play. You have 300-pound Seth Payne sprinting 30 yards just in time to get in a stance before the offense snaps the ball. This goes on the whole game. These guys are wearing themselves out back and forth, not getting into a groove going against the O lineman. Ridiculous.
They're keeping them fresh.
We got to rotate. We want to keep fresh. And Seth got hauling ass fast again just in time. Run back off, Seth! Run back off! We're trying to keep you fresh! Like diving for the sideline so he's not 12 men on the field. Total confusion. What are you doing, Weaver? Get out there! Get back off! 12 on the field, get off! Are you ready, Babbitt? Yeah, I'm fresh, I'm good. Go! Run! I gotta get out there, play's about to start. Keeping her fresh, baby. It's making a difference. Thomas Johnson! Get in there! Get out! Travis! You gotta do your running place look here.
My favorite is when they come halfway off and they say,
No, go back! They give you that Mario Williams look, like, where'd that guy go? What the hell's going on here? And they sprint one way and they go, am I in or out? In or out? Is my tackle, is he an end? Is he a strong side or weak side end? Which tackle spot? Is he a three? What about, am I in or out? I'm out! I'm on the freaking pup list! Oh, crap! I've been suiting up this whole time. I'm on the pup list. Oh, crap. That wasn't that bad. It was actually a pretty good performance yesterday.
They really got their ass. So that was after the first 5 years. That was Mario Williams was on the team, Travis Johnson. Yeah.
That was confused Mario. So it might have been 06. It actually might have been 06.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been his rookie year because that was still. Because remember how Mario used to always never know where anyone was? He was always looking around like,
no, but and I can't tell you how many times they were halfway off the field. No. And then they'd be standing there and looking.
And they're trying to
looking at the field and looking at the coaches. Looking at the field, looking at the coaches. Which one? Who's in?
They're trying to keep them fresh.
Keeping them fresh.
Let's play this other one right now. Here's John. So Cowboy Steve was watching when you had the Astros postgame show on Channel 51. He believed you were a bit of a homer.
No, what?
And here is an email into the show that I read.
Let's stop talking about Reds baseball. Let's talk Astros baseball right now. Let's talk Astros postgame show. Here it is, Cowboy Steve with an email, and it says, good morning. The subject is, I've got a new favorite show. And it says, good morning.
This is from Cowboy Steve. To be honest, I've never paid too much attention to John's post-game show on Channel 51. Well, all I can say is, better late than never. You see, I'm starting to find out that I'm starting to find out what I've been missing out on. Perhaps the best damn 30 minutes on television today. I mean, this is John at his finest. A show all to himself, free to do or say whatever he likes. Sure, he has a few phone calls to take that last no more than 30 seconds each. But other than that, who's there to check him? It's like each show is a brand new version of the best of John's Homerism. Forget, now that's what I call Music Volume 9. By now, John must be working on The Astros Are the Greatest Team Since Sliced Bread, Volume 645. I mean, even when John tells the truth, like last night when talking about the Astros' history of beating up on crappy competition, he says it with such naivete that's cute if he were 10 years old. It's as though he's forgotten or more likely chooses to ignore Astro fans no longer care about beating up on the bad teams of the league, since the likes of the Reds won't be in the playoffs. Basically, it doesn't matter what the Astros do until they prove that they have a pulse against playoff quality pitching. But that doesn't stop Johnny. No, sir. The Astros beat the Reds, and now it's time to pop the cork on the champagne. Oh, and by the way, he goes through the Astros highlights, sounding if he's a fan at home in his underwear, and every time something good happens with the Astros, he says something like, "Yeah, look at that. You can't stop these Astros." Or how about last night when they showed the only red score? "Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Run those bases. Get over it." Yeah, get over it. Or get it over with. I mean, I'm surprised John didn't take his now empty bottle of champagne and throw it at his teleprompter. It was awesome, I tell you. Oh, and John, you didn't make your feelings about Lance Berkman quite clear last night. Could you clear that up for me? You were saying something about Berkman might be a pretty good player or something. Again, not sure. You only talk about him around 50 times. Anyway, Lance, I know you just love the really long email. Sorry, I just can't contain my feelings. Tell me, do they hand out Emmys for local post-game shows? So, John Granato's Astros postgame show on 51 will always get my vote. Cowboy Steve.
Brother.
That is so funny. Cowboy.
It's only funny because it's true.
Cowboy. With Sean Pendergast, who's going to be in the smack-off, I'll tell you about that in just a second. He used to watch it religiously because of the callers. Well, it was a combination of the show and you know, and the Mensa-like callers to the show.
Oh,
you know, the trivia contest and people trying to win the Astros pin, the lapel pins and stuff.
Oh yeah, we used to give shot glasses and little trains,
ashtrays. Things that you win in a carnival. Things that cost a dollar. It's like playing the pyramid game.
You should have seen the callers to get those shot glasses. It was, or a coffee mug, or whatever. It was on, but lapel pins.
It was out the wazoo.
Off the heezy.
Just trying to get that stuff.
Oh my God.
Free things. We got the Astro fans.
Yeah. It's good. You finally started watching it, Cowboy Steve. Come on.
Everyone's
known
about that.
Come on.
Is it year five?
Year five.
Good golly.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Homer John. And it was true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get around the bases. Hurry
yeah.
up.
No. I was a Homer post-game show guy.
Yeah. Keep that post-game. Keep those post-game
whatever.
Checks coming.
Keep it going. Let's take a call. When the Astros lost, it'd just be like, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, you go feel good about yourself because you get your ass kicked tomorrow. 831 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts about the last 25 years or whatever? We can talk. We can get back to last night's action with the Rockets getting the number 3 overall pick, with the Astros hitting 5 home runs in the second inning. And with last night's basketball game, and there's more. Tiger Woods had something to say about Phil Mickelson. We'll get to that as well in a little bit. Right now, we're getting to How Water, H-O-W Water. Drink HOWwater.com. Drink HOWwater.com. You got to order it. You get it, and it's awesome. And here's the deal is, you know, you're not going to get hydrated by regular water. This is hyper-pure oxygenated water. And it's the kind of, it's going to be 94 degrees out there today. Are you going to be playing golf? You know what? Order a case of this. Get 20% off. Put John 20 in there and get 20% off. You'd have to go to a store. You'd have to find something that's as good as this, something that is going to hydrate you as well as this. It tastes great. You refrigerate it. It's biodegradable. It's actually 100% recyclable aluminum too. It's everything about it is just awesome. So if you're looking for that water that is going to hydrate you in these 100 degree days, all you got to do is go to drinkhowwater.com and put in promo code John20. Get that 20% off. Have them delivered to your house. Let's go, people. Drinkhowwater.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Well, that's right, I did do Dr. Wolf spots, I think.
I forgot about that,
Dr. Wolf used to have a Saturday morning show on 1560. Everybody,
who was that guy?
You're all going to die. Dr. Wolf, he was my doctor.
There was a guy, Winston Wolf. No, not Winston Wolf. That's from
Cyril Wolf.
Yeah. Cyril. Winston Wolf is the wolf from
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah. But this guy had an accent too, if I remember correctly, and he would tell everyone that, you know, well, what can I do? He was South African. And what can I do about this, Doc? And he's like, not much.
No.
Good luck. Like, what? We started calling him Dr. Death.
Yeah. He was the best. He was awesome. Loved Doc Wolf. He was great. But then he went into that thing where you've got to pay him $2,000 a year just to have his services, you know, have him on retainer.
He did?
Yeah.
He was a lawyer doctor?
He was a lawyer doctor. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't think I use a doctor that much. But that's how a lot of doctors have gone. They're like, you get, hey, you want to see me? You want me to see you? Okay. Give me $2,000. All right, here's $2,000. What about Uncle D and Timmy? Do you still have that?
I do somewhere. You know what else I've got? Rescue Biggio. One of the funniest things, Rescue Biggio from center field. I've got that too.
Yeah.
So I've got Rescue Biggio from Timmy center field. He's had guacamole all over his face.
Yeah, guacamole, yeah. Timmy.
So here's something for 25th anniversary. Tim, we're 6'10". So the Astros were famous for not bringing up minor league players. And I don't know if it was service time or they just were too nervous that they thought guys weren't going to be good enough or whatever. But they had, and it wasn't great what they brought up. Like, Roy Oswalt was really good, but they didn't have Luke Scott.
Yeah.
It was no one was super exciting. The minor league system wasn't exactly cranking out stars.
Morgan Ensberg
was right. Okay. Was he? Yeah, I guess he was homegrown.
Oh yeah, he was homegrown.
And so we used to talk about it on the radio. It was one of the talking points. Is the Astros, you know, oh look, they got a rookie coming up. He's 26. Like that was a common theme for Astros fans.
Yeah,
pretty much everyone talked about it. They don't bring it. You know, it takes forever to get a rookie up. Everyone else is 21 and 22 year olds. If the Astros get a 23-year-old up, it's a miracle. And we would talk about stuff like that. Well, then one time, so I love Jerry Hunsicker. I thought Hunsicker was a great general manager for the Houston Astros back in the day. He was a little surly sometime, but I thought Jerry Hunsicker was a really good GM. And so on the air, I'm going to have to find some Tim Purpura stuff because on the air, it's going to be as Uncle Drayton, I can tell you that. It'll be me doing Uncle D or talking about Drayton, mm-hmm. and then I just start firing at Timmy. Because on the air, Tim Purpura called. We had him on the air one time when he was general manager of the Astros. It was a relatively short-lived general manager position. How long was he GM?
Oh, a couple, 3 years.
Nothing memorable, and he wasn't very good.
Well, and he took over for Jerry Hunsicker. He's from Oak Lawn, where I'm from, Oak Lawn, Illinois. Yeah, we're both Oak Lawn boys. So there's that. But he was not. Yeah, I don't know that he deserved the job. I think Drayton probably gave it to him because he would be cheap.
He was cheap, yeah. And he was just in the organization already.
Yeah,
that's how it worked. He was GM from 2005 to 2007. Not great years. Not great years. Well, anyway, we had him on the show.
Oh, they went to the World Series in 05.
Yeah, but he took over in 05. Right, like, he didn't put that team together.
No.
That team was already in place.
No.
Tell me what he did in 06 and 07. How'd they do? They couldn't hit at all.
Yeah.
He took over a team that was an average hitting team in 04 and didn't make them any better in 05. As a matter of fact, it was a huge Achilles heel for him is that they couldn't hit.
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that drafted Giovanni Meyer?
I believe he did.
Oh, my God. The light hitting shortstop.
Yeah. And a first round pick. I think Giovanni might still be around.
As a coach?
No. Okay. Go ahead.
So, anyway, Tim Papur was on the show with us, and this is just a story. I don't have sound for you, but he was
don't have this?
No, I don't have that sound of Tim Papur on the show. But he was on the show with us, and I started asking a question about, you know, minor league system and bringing up guys, you know, if it's a team philosophy to bring guys up slower. And Papura clearly has been irked by something I'd said on the radio at some point. Because he goes, I don't know, how many minor league games have you been to, Lance? And I said, literally that business beat, I said, thousands. And he goes, no, you haven't. Because you haven't even been to the minor league games to see these guys. No, I said, well, I know. Philosophically, I know they don't make it up. I know they don't come up until they're much older. And I was trying to ask a real question, and Papura was clearly not happy with me and went after me. So from that point on, it was literally on forever.
Yep.
For between me and Tim Papura. And Tim was no longer, whether he was with the Astros or not with the Astros, every chance I had
you
to take shots
him.
At Tim Papura, I would rip Will his
you
ass.
Rip him? And... Yeah, do you have the Biggio, rescuing Biggio?
Yes, I do. I'll have to find that because I don't know if I sent it in. I thought I sent it in, but let me know if you see that anywhere where rescue Biggio. If you see it in the system, if I brought it in, because I'm gonna tell you what
that was one of the funniest bits ever. 842 ESPN 97.5 and 92.
I've got a lot of Lance goes off, Lance rants. I would lose. You could pull up a random. You want to hear an Uncle D? We got Uncle D's. If I'm talking Uncle D, there's a good chance Tim Papura is catching balls.
He will. We'll do it on the other side. But first, we'll do Uncle D on the other side. But first, we got Simple Seats.
Oh, Simple Seats, man! So I was telling my brother about Simple Seats. My brother and my sister-in-law are going to head into see the Astros here in the next few days. And they were talking about, you know, getting tickets, but the tickets always end up being more than they thought. And I was like, this is like a commercial for me. Unbelievable. And I told my brother, SimpleSeats.com. It's not an app yet. It's online. Just go to SimpleSeats.com. At SimpleSeats.com, the guy who runs it and who owns it actually used to work for the Astros on the ticketing side. And so he's got these incredible hookups for Dynamo, for Texans, for Astros. I know a lot of college football games as well. He gets Astros tickets that you can get for no fees. You literally just pay taxes. Whatever the price is, that's the price. You pay the taxes, and that's it. There's no fees. So there's never any fees, and you can choose your exact seats or you can choose zone. And when you choose zone, you just choose an area of the, you know, of the park, and they've got them color-coded. They'll choose the seats for you, and then you save even more dollars, even more money. So my brother looked at a couple of tickets. I looked it up for him, and it's like lower right field line down the first base line, lower bowl, and the entire cost was going to be $129 for a weekend game against the Rangers for great seats for two tickets. He's like, that's $60 less than what I'm finding right now. Yeah, you know why? No fees. SimpleSeats.com, SimpleSeats.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
It's on YouTube. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'll send it to RJ.
RJ. I didn't know it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
We used to capture the show. I give Chance and Frank, especially Chance, a lot of credit. He was capturing the show. We were doing live streams of the show when it was Justin TV way back in the day.
Yeah.
And now we have Twitch.
Sent it to us. Mm-hmm. A listener, Dustin, sent it to us that said, here it is. Here's your Timmy's Mayo, Uncle D.
Oh, man. This Timmy's, is where I super clowned Tim Perpura. It's one of my best works.
Yeah. No, not Tim Perpura doesn't think so. Dude.
I don't care what he thinks.
I know. You really just hated him just because one time he said, how many minor league games have you been to, Lance?
You want to try to come after me and you thought you were going to embarrass me on the radio? But then it
come after the king? You better not. You best not miss.
You best not miss because I've got, guess what? That was back in 06. Here it is 16 years later and I'm still firing bullets at you. So I got a clip that has billions of bullets.
Right.
By the way, I'm watching Billions. I love that show. Everyone who told me to watch it, they were right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
good.
We
got to watch it.
It's really good. Just like Better Call Saul, everyone told me to watch it. And I waited and waited and waited and I watched it. I realized, oh, my God.
That's good.
Why did I wait this
long? It's coming to an end. Are you up? Are you okay? Are you
caught up? No, well, I've got to watch this week's.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm up to date. I just haven't watched
this week's. How many are there? Are there a bunch more? Because we're running out.
No, there's another. I think there's a second season inside the season. You know what I mean? Kind of like Ozark did.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I think that's kind of what it is. So, do you have this here? So, yeah. Oh, you didn't get the email? Did you email it to him?
I direct messaged it to you.
Oh, check your direct message. Yeah, so once again, to set this up, this was at 1560 when this happened. This is already after Tim Perpura thought he was going to come after me about, have you ever been to any minor league games?
Well, that was back at 610 he came after you.
Yeah, I was just asking a question if there's a philosophy with the Astros, and he decided to make it personal. So, I maybe went over the top sometimes with my shots at him. Because it felt like, you know, Uncle Drayton was a charlatan. I never liked Uncle Drayton. Well, there was a time I thought Uncle Drayton was okay. Uncle Drayton is Drayton McClain, the former Astros owner. But it got like where Drayton was clearly cheap. He was, the more stories I heard, it got worse. Like I heard stories about what he did to the Mandolas. Just, I heard stuff in the background that from people who dealt with him business-wise. And I was like, ooh, is he that bad? Apparently the Drayton he wanted you to see, at least from what I've heard, the Drayton he wanted you to see versus the Drayton in business, I just wasn't a big fan. I'm not a big fan of people who are just public phonies. And so, you know, I felt like Drayton was a huckster. He wasn't helping the Astros at all. And so I took lots of shots at him as Uncle Drayton because that's what he was. He was this guy here. John, I am poor as can be. Do you have money to sign a shortstop?
He did. He's
asking. You'd ask him a question. That was a real story.
Are you going to get that? You're going to get a free agent pitcher? Are you going to get a pitcher at the deadline? Do you have any money? Because I thought you
would. Well, how are we going to afford that, John? Do you have money? Because I don't have any money. Then he got $700 billion for the Astros at the end. Well, I guess I found some money here. And a little something here. He was busy building buildings at Baylor all the time.
But
couldn't get a freaking setup, man.
Yep. Here he is. Here is Lance doing Uncle D talking about Timmy's Mayo.
Do you think Timmy went to Sam's and picked up a big
Timmy
bat?
Timmy was always going to Sam's, and I thought he was buying it for Aramark, and it turns out it's just I've got a gigantic office full of mayonnaise, and he would buy these mayonnaise vats four at a time. They came in gigantic industrial-sized containers, and I just got a whole thing of pickles and mayonnaise in here. I looked in the closet, the storage closet, and I said, well, what's in here? Do we have any bobbleheads to give away? And I go in there, and I'll be doggone if it didn't look like Timmy was expecting some type of nuclear fallout. We had mayonnaise and pickles in there. Timmy had a great big thing of Pop-Tarts. He had some kind of kasha because he said it was healthy. It's not. Hey, have you ever looked at the sugar content on a kasha?
Man, Pop-Tarts? I don't think Pop-Tarts
are nuclear
foods. Do they
come in industrial? Yes, they are.
Well, they come in those aluminum foil bags.
Pop-Tarts will last. Disgusting.
They will last.
And Timmy had also bought a crumb cake, a sour cream crumb cake. He bought 25 of these things, and all of them have the plastic ripped open, and just a hand has just reached in and grabbed it. And it's not even cut. It's just a hand is ripped off chunks of all of them, so we can't use any of them. They're all dried up. And I'm going to have to give them away half price.
Wait, Timmy Woo! Went in there with his hand, Uncle D?
He went in with his hand. You know,
you got his fingerprints in there.
He got. I saw. He's got. And he ruined the whole thing. And what I. And that's what I don't like. And then the spice. And then he didn't even store it at refrigerated temperatures on the spicy chipotle aioli. So we're gonna be that. That's like gonna SEC be dangerous, anywho. But I'm gonna be out of here, so it doesn't matter.
Jim Crane's buying a
You're
bunch
supposed
of
to refrigerate your aioli is what I found out. It's got mayonnaise in it. And needless to say, Timmy doesn't have any. He's opened the mayonnaise. Trust me on this one now. He's reached his hands into the mayonnaise, took whole big globs of it, and then didn't refrigerate after opening. And it said clearly on there, refrigerate after opening.
But giant scoopfuls are out of the aioli.
Oh, Timmy, we don't need 70 boxes of fruit chews. Why did Timmy buy the fruit chews? I can't sell these tiny packages.
Jim Crane is buying spoiled aioli, okay? Chipotle aioli. That's what he's buying for $680 million? That's what Jim Crane is getting?
Maybe some.
He's the whole thing is spoiled and rotten. There'll be time. That's for those of you that don't you, well, Uncle D's how long ago now? How long? When did he buy the team? 12?
11 or 12?
11 or 12 in that?
Yeah, 11 or 12.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of listeners that never heard, that didn't even know who Uncle D was. You need to know who Uncle D was. Uncle D was the he was shucks was a pretty good word. He's got you'll still see the McLean Trucking trucks out there.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah. You McLean.
Well, I'm sure he's still making money.
Oh, Uncle D's still making money. I'm not even worried about that. I saw him, the last time I saw him, he and his wife were having some cocktails. I was like, Uncle D's getting it. I thought he was a Baptist dude, a Baylor guy. Uncle D was getting him some margaritas. Yeah.
I thought he was in a dry county somewhere.
Yeah. Well, no.
Astros have had, I mean, the Houston sports owner since we've been on the air. So when we started radio, we did not have the Oilers. We had no pro football team, and it didn't seem to matter really for the show.
No.
We had Les Alexander, who we just missed. You and I just missed out on having a show during Rockets championship years. But we had Barkley. We had Clyde. I actually, at least locally, broke the Clyde Drexler news that he was going to be head coach because Michael Thompson, there was a guy named Chris Monter. Do you remember him? We had him in as an NBA draft guy.
Yep.
And he was doing radio in Portland, and Michael Thompson on the radio show just kind of let it slip that Clyde Drexler, who he played with at Portland, was going to be the next head coach of the Houston Cougars. Well, Clyde at that time was literally on the Rockets. It was the end of the season for Clyde Drexler. Clyde Drexler, who's playing for the Rockets right now, is going to be the head coach of the Cougars. Clyde Drexler's never been a coach. That can't be true. Sure enough, it was true. We had, who's your favorite guest that we ever had on?
Berkman and Lima were my favorites.
Yeah. What about outside of those two guys? You think of somebody nationally?
Van Gundy.
Yeah, Van Gundy is, I'm trying to think of someone else. I don't think we had Clyde on before when we were out at the Rockets when they had the, we were going.
We didn't do it much with Barkley.
I don't think, we never had Barkley on. We never had Dream on that I know of.
You know, we had Bags and Pidge and Billy Wagner. You pissed him off. He didn't talk.
No, he wasn't on the air though.
Oh, he was on the air.
He was with us on the radio.
He was on the phone. What do you mean?
We had Billy on the air.
And on the air.
I didn't piss him off at that time. I thought he heard me say that. I thought he
did right after
pitch.
The interview. We had him on.
Okay.
Lance, right after the interview, you said, "Oh, Billy's got to learn enough." After we had Billy on, he called in the morning. I was in that locker room every night, you know, doing the post game and whatnot. And I said, Billy, come on the show. So Billy came on the show, And we did the interview with him. It was great. It was fine, yeah. Everything else. And then as soon as he hung up, he turned the radio up, you know, to listen. And you were going, yeah, Billy's just got to, he's got to learn. He's got to get another pitch. I mean, he's got to. He just can't live off that
change,
fastball.
He's got to change speeds a little bit.
And man, it just turned with me and Billy.
Did it really?
And I was like, Billy, finally, at the next spring training, I was like, all right, Billy, what is the deal with you, man?
You could just tell.
And he told me, yes, no, he was just like, he was an a-hole.
Oh, but he never said anything?
He never said anything. He was just an a-hole the rest of that season. And then spring training comes, and I go, Billy, what is the deal? And he's like, well, yeah, I was on your show, and then you start talking. I said, I didn't start talking about my partner did. And, well, why didn't you say something if it pissed you off? And he apologized to me afterwards. He apologized afterwards. He said, yeah, I handled that wrong. But he should have just come after me. Come on. Hey, what are you talking about after I hung up?
Well, all that could have been settled if he just, you know, learned to throw the change up and trust the change.
Just do it.
If he had just done what I told him, he'd have been fine.
Yeah.
If Billy
had just listened to you, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. He would have been for sure Hall of Famer.
Right. I was Strom before Strom.
Yeah.
I was telling people to throw that curveball, change the speeds up.
Yeah.
Had Billy just listened to me and trusted his off-speed pitch,
right.
Billy got ruined a couple times on hanging curveballs, and you could tell Billy's like, I ain't ever throwing that pitch ever again.
Yeah.
It's fastball or nothing.
Oh, best matchup, him and Ken Griffey Jr. in that one game. It was 2000 when Minute Maid first opened. I think it was like three or four games in, and Griffey came in, and it was just
nerve-wracking.
And Griffey won. Griffey won the matchup.
Griffey got
him. Oh, Steve McKinney. Great interview.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McKinney, Van Chancellor. Yeah, those were always great. Steve McKinney.
I was trying to think.
Do we have any Sour Lake?
We don't have any Raymond.
You don't have any Raymond?
We don't have any Raymond. We got some Steve McKinney.
We got Steve McKinney, but Raymond was... Raymond calling in from Sour Lake.
Some guy.
You know, I know two guys. I was just with Roe Wilkins and Blaine Padgett, both from Sour Lake.
Yeah.
And so it was, the only thing I knew about Sour Lake was Raymond telling us, and he had his son. He was going after his cousin, remember? He was trying to get with his cousin.
Yeah, we had one of the things that happened on our show over the years is we would have other things develop, like side stories.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's just people just playing around, having fun. And that was
callers would do it a lot of times.
And callers,
that's how Coach Slocum on a mobile started. He just called in and did.
It was just caller. We didn't know him. We know him now. We knew him.
And Raymond from Sour Lake.
He was just a friend of Steve McKinney's.
Oh, my God, was that funny. All right, we're done with reminiscing. We'll get to the other side. And I want to get to this Tiger story, actually, on the other side. We'll
Somebody's
hear from
asking
Tiger
about Woods. Tracy Morgan. Unfortunately, it's labeled Tracy Morgan, but the audio is not in there. It got lost, so it didn't upload properly. Jim Jeffries was one of my favorite guests that we had on, but Tracy Morgan, literally, never have we lost control of a show ever than Tracy Morgan.
Right,
we had no control. He didn't care that we were there. It was just an open mic. He wasn't doing a set. He was saying random things that were funny, but at the same time, we realized we can't get to a – it was worse than me at getting to a break.
Yeah, like you should be right now and talking about Maestro DeVell.
Well, so tequila is a big part of my life. I'm not afraid to say it, but I like a good tequila. And there's nothing worse than a cheap tequila. It gives you the headaches. You don't love it. A good tequila is able to – it just blends in with your whole night, your whole day. It's great. It's the best. As a matter of fact, why don't you take the opportunity to get – your hands on some Maestro DeVell. You can get it wherever fine liquors are sold. What you're going to find out is that the Maestro DeVell tequila, there's a variety that's made for everyone. But the processes, whether it's Reposado, the Añejo Extra, the Silver, the Smoked Silver, the Diamante, which is their Cristalino, they're going to have tequilas that have been made with special considerations to the aging process, 100% pure agave. They go out of their way, the 11 generations of tequila makers, to make the very finest spirits. So that whether you're having a margarita, a cocktail, or especially if you're just sipping their tequila, you are going to taste the huge flavor profiles and see and the way that they have actually crafted the product is going to stand out to you. It is like having a high-end tequila without having to pay the exorbitant prices. It really is. Maestro DeVell is something you got to try. If you haven't tried it at your local from your local liquor store or your local restaurant, make sure you demand that they carry it. Maestro Dobell.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.